Matthew 11, verses 20 through 30. The theme of judgment, the theme of divine sovereignty, and the theme of faith are tied together in this short passage of Scripture. The theme of judgment is not entirely popular, is it? Not one that we are likely to enjoy talking about and delving into. Jesus had no hesitation. The theme of divine sovereignty is also one which we often avoid. We do not like the fact, as individuals, that God is the one in control and we are the ones who are at His disposal. That's not a popular teaching. And it's unusual, it seems, that we would affix faith and a call to trust in Jesus Christ with these two themes, judgment and sovereignty. In fact, we would say, would we not, that very often speaking about divine sovereignty would be in opposition to a call to come to Christ, that the two are mutually exclusive. How in the world can you call men and women to trust in Jesus Christ when you have spoken so vigorously about sovereignty and the sovereignty of grace? Aren't they mutually exclusive? Well, Jesus puts them together. And I think this is one of the things that we need to see in our text this morning. And so I'm laying before you this statement at the head of our outline. Christ the prophet, master teacher, and evangelist links judgment, God's sovereignty, and faith. And he wants these great teachings of Scripture to come together in our lives. And that's important because faith in Jesus Christ is not abstract, but it is experimental. It is personal. And it is that personal faith, that interaction with Jesus Christ, which is so vital. So let's look at our text this morning and attempt by the grace of God to apply it. First of all, in Matthew chapter 11 and verses 20 through 24, Christ denounces the cities in which he proclaimed his kingdom and was also roundly rejected by the inhabitants of these cities. Let's look again at Matthew 11, 20 and following. Then he began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles were done because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago. Amazing statements. Jesus denouncing these cities where his miracles had been done. Chorazin was in Galilee, very close to Capernaum, north of the Sea of Galilee, and the little village of Bethsaida was also on the north side of the Sea of Galilee, and some of the disciples came from the little town of Bethsaida. And the problem was that the gospel was preached in these cities. The problem was that not only was the gospel proclaimed, the good news of the kingdom proclaimed in these cities, but many miracles had been done. Christ cast out demons. Christ healed the sick. Christ quelled the waves and stilled the wind on the Sea of Galilee. Our Lord Jesus Christ walked in the midst of these people. And when they saw the miracles, multitudes came in order to be healed and to be delivered. And yet, they rejected the Word of God. They did not repent This is the problem. They did not repent. They did not change their minds with regard to Jesus Christ, that He was their Messiah and Savior. Again, in our text. Nevertheless, with regard to Chorazin and Bethsaida, nevertheless, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. Tyre and Sidon were Phoenician cities on the coast north of and west of the Sea of Galilee on the Mediterranean coast. And these cities were notoriously evil cities, pagan cities. Now think about this, because I think you do have to think about it a little bit. Jesus is saying to Chorazin and Bethsaida, it is going to be more tolerable for these pagan cities in the day of judgment than it is for you, because you did not hear the gospel. You did not hear, having ears to hear the gospel. You did not repent. And what Jesus is saying is that in the judgment, you will be worse off than these pagan cities. You know, sometimes we ponder, could there be degrees of judgment? Indication is that there are degrees of judgment and degrees of punishment. And those who know more, of those God expects more, and these cities received much more, and so they are being held accountable for what they have received. Continuing on in this text, verse 23, and you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will descend to Hades. For if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. Nevertheless, I say to you that it will be more tolerable in the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. Capernaum, the headquarters of the ministry of Jesus. Capernaum, that city where Jesus dwelt and taught, and His disciples mingled with the people, did not repent at the hearing of the gospel. And what does Jesus say? You're not going to heaven. Jesus is so bold to say, dear friends, hear this. You're not going to heaven. You are going to hell. That's the word of Jesus. And He compares Capernaum, the city where Jesus dwelt, with Sodom. And when we think of Sodom, we think of the epitome of evil in the Old Testament. That city upon which God rained fire and brimstone. And Jesus says, you know, if we had gone into Sodom and preached and performed miracles, Sodom would have repented. You remember how Jonah went to Nineveh and preached? And the city repented and was spared. Jesus is saying the same thing with regard to Sodom. It would be here until this day. But not you, Capernaum. It will be more tolerable for Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. Those are awesome words, are they not? And how do we apply them? Well, point two in the outline. Woe to you, Babylon. Woe to you, Washington, London, Moscow, Belgrade, Berlin, Cairo, Jerusalem, Topeka, and Sterling. Is this too much? Some would say, obviously, Pastor, you are way overboard here. But is it the case that at the highest levels of our own government, truth does not prevail and is at a premium? And fidelity in marriage does not prevail but is at a premium? Woe to you, is the word of Jesus. And it is a stark word, a humbling word, an awesome word. And are we immune in our own community? Oh, we think highly of our community, and that our community is well churched, we say. But on any given Lord's Day, how many people are together in the house of God worshiping? And then Jesus goes on to say, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. In the presence of his disciples, our Lord Jesus gives thanks to God for divine sovereignty. Look at the words that he uses. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You are the Lord and the master of all. You are the sovereign God. And I give you praise. Why? Because you have hidden these things. And what are these things? These things are none other than the things that pertain to salvation. You have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent. You have hidden the things that pertain to salvation from those who consider themselves to be wise according to this world. And you have been pleased in your grace and mercy to reveal them, the things of salvation, to those who are like babes. And what does verse 26 say? Yes, Father. For this way was well pleasing in your sight. What's the situation? The situation simply is this, dear friends, that God in His wisdom has chosen to reveal the things of salvation to some and to hide the things of salvation from others. And we would say that is an absolutely repugnant idea. And the Bible comes back and asks the question, who are you, O man, to question God? Who are you, O man, to question the Almighty? Does he not have the power out of one lump of clay to make vessels fit for destruction and vessels fit for mercy? Does God not have the power? and the authority to do this. Yes, He does. And it is pleasing in His sight to do so. And Jesus adds to this thought, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father." Everything that pertains to life and salvation and all that is needed is handed over to me. And no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal Him. "I thank You, O Father," says our Lord Jesus, "that it is pleasing in Your sight to reveal the things of salvation to some and to hide those things from others. All things have been given unto me, even the authority to reveal You to men and women, O Father." Do you hear that? Do you hear that? Well, let's look at our outline for a moment again. In the presence of His disciples, Christ gives thanks to the Father for divine sovereignty. Dear friends in Christ, we ought to give thanks to God that we cannot reach faith by our own intelligence, but only by the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Only through Jesus Christ and His grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit may we have faith, not by our own intelligence. See, that's what's coming out of this lesson. And we ought to give thanks as Jesus gives thanks. We ought to bow before the Father as our Lord Jesus bows before the Father. We ought to pray to Him and exalt Him and give Him all glory and honor. And not reserve for ourselves an iota of that praise. Paul says, "For by grace you are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Where is the boasting? Paul asks. Where is the boasting? It is in God and in God alone. That's where the boasting is. And we have no right to boast about our relationship with God because it is given to us in Christ Jesus by grace. And then notice what Jesus does. Verse 28. After speaking about judgment and divine sovereignty, Jesus turns to the crowd around Him and He says, "Come to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." One of the theologians puts it this way: on the crest of the wave of divine sovereignty comes the invitation, "Come to Me." And it is at the peak and at the height of our understanding of the sovereign God that we grasp, as we should, that invitation which Christ issues, "Come to Me." It is rooted in His will and in His power. And when we understand that that's the case, we properly grasp that invitation. "Come to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All power and authority has been given to me, Jesus says, in heaven and on earth. Imagine that. All power and authority. And if we have any strength, it comes from Christ. If we have any wisdom at all, it comes from Christ. If we have any abilities at all, it comes from Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, therefore, since He is the center and the focus of all, He says, come to me. Come to me. And I will give you rest. In our Sabbath school earlier, we were talking about the will of God. And one of the members of the class made a distinction between the will of God, which is secret in His plans and purposes, and the will of God, which is given to us in this book, the Bible. And my comment was, well, if we pursue the secret will of God and try to figure it all out, we're going to wind up in a muddle. And that's generally the case. And the answer that Jesus gives to a proper understanding of His judgments and of His great and glorious plans and purposes is very simple, very direct. The answer of Jesus is, come to me. Come to me. You want to understand those judgments? You want to understand the plans and purposes of God? There's only one way to do it. Come to me. Because I am, Jesus says, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And the invitation is this: come to me, all who are weary, weary because of sin, heavy laden because of guilt. And if there is upon your heart a weight that you cannot seem to remove, the only way to see that weight removed is to come to Christ, to come to Jesus. And He removes the guilt and the weight of sin, because He's the one who died on Calvary's cross and was raised again. And Jesus says, you can't figure out my plans and purposes from your minuscule earthly perspective? Well, I can understand that. Come to me. Come to me. And I will give you rest in your soul. And how many of us need that rest? I'll raise my hand to that. I need that rest. And you need that rest also. If the Bible is correct in any way, you need that rest, even as I do. And so, what do we have? Christ invites those encumbered by guilt and sin to come to Him and find rest from their burdens. And we see, do we not, that Jesus Christ joins the messages of judgment, sovereignty, and faith. Does He not? And the Jesus in whom you are to trust is the Lord of all. And Paul says that if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. And so that faith is indeed wrapped up with sovereignty, and that faith is wrapped up with judgment, because it is through that faith that that judgment is averted, dear friends. So, the message for each of us that comes from Scripture this morning is coming to us from Jesus when He gives us this climactic invitation. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you'd be pleased to help us grasp what our Lord Jesus is talking about here. And I pray that you'd be pleased to open our hearts and minds and give us ears to hear so that this idea, this extraordinary idea coming from the Bible of divine sovereignty is joined in our lives with faith. Faith in Jesus, who is the sovereign Lord, and who is the one who is able to give us rest. May it be the case for each one of us in this place, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.